Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you are in this present moment. This is Eric Castillo here with another beautiful episode of the Infinite Talks podcast. And today, man, we're going to talk about the fight, the Ryan Garcia-Devin Haney fight. I don't know, man, what do y'all think? The question is, did Ryan Garcia save boxing, or did he, did he not do service to the boxing community? And I prefer to think that he had an amazing fight, a very weird marketing campaign to promote this fight. And he won in a lot of levels on Saturday, bro. He won on a lot of levels. I have a lot of mixed feelings, though, because this fight was just, it was brewing. But it wasn't really about the fight. There was a lot of issues going into this fight. Ryan was, you know, at first when he said he was going to fight Devin Haney, all of a sudden he turned on the on switch and he starts talking about all these conspiracies, right? So obviously we're going to talk about that in a bit, but I mean, all of that led up to Saturday's fight, where he actually beat Devin Haney. Very, very, very good fight. He showed off all of his left hook and his combinations and pretty much it was just the left hook, not that many combinations. But he took it to the Devin Haney camp, and he made him pay for, not believing that he was all there. I think this fight, I don't know, man. It was very confusing just watching it before it started, just getting ready for the fight. I was like, what is going on? Watching everything unfold and unravel. There's so many things, so many points to this. I don't even want to call it a fight, but there's this trajectory of events that happened before the fight, and then the fight, and then the post fight, and then a lot of mixed feelings because, I mean, Ryan, you know, he preaches that he's a God, you know, Jesus and all this stuff, but then he does a lot of stuff that contradicts what he's saying. So very Kanye-like. And but I mean, he was very smart and strategic. I don't know who was his marketing team or who kind of coached him, or it was his own epiphany, or maybe game planning with his family and his brother to actually put this all together. It was a very strange battle, you know, from spiritual warfare to Illuminati talks to conspiracies that are very wild and known in the under, and a lot of people who know about conspiracies, a lot of the stuff that Ryan was talking about was already a known subjects that conspiracy theorists, or if you want to call them truth seekers, already know about. Because a lot of the stuff that he was already talking about, I had heard that many years ago, and I don't know if he had just found out about it, or he says he's been part of those kind of situations where he has inner, you know, information. But he let it all out as soon as he started promoting this fight. So very strange, that he was promoting all this stuff as he was promoting this fight. And it was hard to really determine if he was using it for entertainment, or was he really trying to get the truth out there. And I'll touch base in a little bit on what he did after the fight, but I'm gonna talk about all these things right now. So for going back, I think he won in many levels. He won in the boxing community because he made a lot of non-believers believers. He won in the spiritual sense because he praised God as soon as he got the W, and they said he was announcing he was a winner. He thanked God. He won spiritually, and he's been acting out, doing all kinds of weird stuff on the internet, or using drugs, or it looks like he's been using drugs. I don't know. There was a video circulating after the fight where he's smoking marijuana or some kind of cigarette or some cigar. I don't know. But his behavior, very, very promiscuous with the women. I don't know about that either. Supposedly he got married a week before the fight. I don't even know if that's legit or, you know, it's, but he won in a lot of levels, that's for sure. He won, you know, boxing, spiritually. He won in the marketing campaign. He making himself one of the most richest boxers in the world right now, because everybody's talking about him. it seems like he grabbed a playbook from the Tate camp, like the Tate brothers, right? Andrew Tate and his brother. And then he also used a lot of the social media stuff that he's learned over the years, like hanging out with the Logan brothers. Just, I guess, hanging out with people who are in that realm. And I guess he just, like, thought about it. Like, or maybe somebody gave him input. Like, hey, bro, I think if you do this, not only will you get, like, very, very well known throughout, not just the boxing community, because the boxing community already knew him. But outside of boxing, I was telling my brother that outside of boxing, he was just, maybe you knew about him, maybe you didn't. Like, when you hear, like, before this fight and before this era of him exposing all this truth or, like, all these conspiracies, if you want to say, before that, when you would say Ryan Garcia, maybe you knew about him, maybe you didn't. He wasn't that famous yet. And it's like when you say Michael Jordan, your name, you almost everybody in the world should know who Michael Jordan is, right? But if you say Michael Vick, some people might not know who Michael Vick is. Michael Vick, who? What? Who is he? Oh, yeah, he was a football player back in the days, right? But you say Michael Jordan, and there's no doubt that you know who he is. My son knows who Michael Jordan is, and he never saw him play. You know, there's a lot of kids his age that know who Michael Jordan is. But if I ask my son, who's Michael Vick? He'd be like, phew, I don't know. He might even just say some random question, random answer. So what happened with Ryan is that he elevated from being the Michael Vick of sports to a Michael Jordan type, where you say Michael Jordan, you know who he is. You say Tom Brady, you know who he is. You say all these elites, right? You know who they are. You say Ryan Garcia, and like, oh shit, that's that boxer, man, that's kind of wild and crazy, and he's been saying all this stuff that we don't know if it's true, but it sounds like it's true. Let me do some further investigation. So he's getting the people to understand another side of the world that's being exposed through his clout, I guess you want to say. But now you say his name, and now his name resonates. And so I think strategically on a marketing campaign, he's like, you know, I'm going to get to that level where you cannot stop me. Like, you say my name and people know who the fuck I am, you know, like they're going to know who he is. And now he's in those ranks, you know, with those elite athletes that are well known and branded, you know. So when he jumped that level and he starts to climb up the ranks of just media, like everybody in the media was talking about him. And so you start thinking about all this stuff, like all the stuff that he was saying, like he was talking about the Illuminati, right? He's talking about how there's sex trafficking of children. He was talking about how there's the Bohemian Grove, you know, something that where all the elites go to meet every so often, and they have these secret meetings, and they have like these fake sacrifices and all this stuff, right? And they have all these plans for the future and how to manipulate the world. He talks about that, and he talks about how he has proof and videos of all this stuff that he's talking about. And so people start talking about him, the media starts talking about him. And then he goes on rants with different people. I think he went on Twitter. I don't even know what it's called, but like those hangouts where everybody's talking about a certain subject. And he was with Alex Jones, Andrew Tate, a bunch of people that are like in the conspiracy world or, you know, threats to society, you want to call them. And he's having conversations with them. And then there's a lot of stories that every single day he's just creating some wild shit. And people tune into social media, and they were, I think the first thing that I saw that was extra wild was when supposedly he had been kidnapped. And my brother and I were eating breakfast one Sunday, and he's like, hey bro, did you hear about Ryan said? I was like, what do you mean? What happened to Ryan? He's like, look, there's a video circulating of him supposedly being kidnapped. And it looks like you can see him at the end of the video kind of like running or some stuff. So we watched the video, and it was very cryptic. I was like, dude, what the hell is going on, man? Like, that looks weird. Like, something happened to this kid. Like, either he exposed something, and then now they want to get back at him, or something happened. So video circulates for a few days, and then boom, it's like, nah, he's okay. Everything's all right. It was like about a week that was weird. And then after that, it just kept on escalating, like, more and more and more. Supposedly, he was cloned. Supposedly, he was facing the Illuminati. The Illuminati wanted to try to kill him. You know, he's exposing all these actors and powerful people that they're aligned with child trafficking. And, you know, he was doing a lot of the stuff that, if you know about Pizzagate, then you would really resonate about everything he was saying, because everything he was saying was pretty much already known, but now he's getting a lot of notoriety, a lot of publicity, and he's doing it in the millions, right, where millions of people are listening to him, what he's saying, and like, even if they don't believe it or not, they're listening to it. And then on top of that, he's just making like beef with anybody and everyone to create this movement of everybody talking about him. And if you know, if you read the book Virus of the Mind, he was creating memes for the people to talk about and create this hot environment of him being spoken about and talked about, kind of like what happened with Andrew Tate a few years ago, before it became Andrew Tate, before anybody knew who the fuck Andrew Tate was. Like, I remember when I heard Andrew Tate, I thought it was as a meme. Like, what? Who the hell is this guy? 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, everybody, he was the most Googled man in the earth, you know? So Ryan used the same technique, the same blueprint. He's like, I'm going to do what he did, but not exactly the same, but something within along the lines, catered to my style, and then get the notoriety before the fight, and then get paid out, not only in the fight, but in many ways, you know. So from marketing to, I think he lost a lot of brand deals, I think, he during that era of him exposing all this truth. But at the same time, he didn't care about losing the name brands, because he kind of had a bigger picture, because I think he had seen I'm thinking, before you go into this kind of world of campaigning like that, you have to look at all the ins and outs, all the pros and the cons. And I think he did that, and I think he knew what he was getting into. But at the end of the day, I think he's like, he was preaching that God was protecting him, and whatever happened to him, he was going to do it in God's name, Jesus Christ. Amen, right? And I think that was the only thing that kept me like, okay, let me believe in this kid, because he sounds very wild and crazy, but he's saying God's name and Jesus' name, but he's acting otherwise. But I'm going to keep my magnifying glass on chill right now, because I want to see the bigger picture. And I wasn't just like, oh, reacting to everything he was doing. I was just more like poised and like, all right, he's a little bit wild here, or what? Yeah, that's kind of truth here. You know, I was kind of like pinpointing everything he was saying, but not taking it, just taking it with a grain of salt, not really taking it all in. So as it goes down to the fight, right, and this, that week of the fight, it just gets even wilder when he's at the, you know, meeting up with Devin Haney's camp in different locations, and almost becomes a fight. You know, I think they were somewhere in New York in one of those tourist attractions, and they meet up, and, you know, Devin Haney pushes the shit out of Ryan. And he doesn't do anything back, but he just kind of goes like crazy. You can see it in his face that he's getting mad. And at the same time, he's kind of like playing mind games with the Devin Haney camp. And I'm thinking about, throughout this time, I think not only was he using this as a marketing campaign to like promote truth and promote conspiracies, and on top of that, on top of it all, to create, you know, waves with his name, but I think he really wanted to play mind games with the Devin Haney camp. He wanted them to feel like, nah, this guy's loose. He ain't going to make weight. He's going to be out of shape, and we're going to beat him real badly when it comes down to the fight. I think they were like caught off guard. Like, they think they really bought into the idea of millions of people really bought in, not only David Haney, but in his camp, but also millions of people thought that this guy was out of touch. He was not in the right state of mind. But my brother Jeff, Digital Jeff, shout out to Digital Jeff. We were having a talk after the fight, and he said something that made a lot of sense. He's like, you never saw him in a real practice environment. Like, Jeffrey said he did that on purpose. Like, he really pushed the crazy and the chaos, moment, like all those videos of him acting wild and all those posts that were acting, you know, just very conspiratorial, if you want to call it. And then, but you never saw him in the training, you know, you never saw him with videos of him training. It was like him in the hotel practicing with his brother, or him in a room, but you never saw like a full length training video of him in the gym. And I think he used that as a kind of like a, like when you prepare for battle, like, I'm not going to show you my blueprint, but I'm going to show you all the chaos that I'm doing. It's kind of like diversion. It was a diversion so that the David Haney camp did not see really what was going on in the training. And I said, Jeff, that's a good point, man. I actually never really saw him train throughout this whole campaign, man. It was more of him, you know, with all the conspiracy talk and all the truth seeking and all this chaos and all these wild videos, acting belligerent and stuff like that. Even, I don't know, man. So when he went up to the fight, Devin Haney and his camp were like, nah, we got this in the bag, especially because the day of the weigh-in, freaking, you know, King Ryan walks in to the weigh-in with a, supposedly looks like a beer. Later on, he said it was apple juice and sprinkling water, some shit like that, sparkling water. But he says he weighed himself and he's like drinking as he's weighing himself. So obviously he's gonna weigh more. Before that, he had made a bet with him that he, for every pound that he's over, he's gonna pay $500,000. He was 3 pounds overweight. That's $1.5 million, and supposedly he paid it, right? But he's walking into the weighing, and he's not only is he dressed almost halfway. He's like usually dressed when they weigh in. They're dressed only in their boxers and stuff. This guy was wearing pants and shoes, so he didn't give a shit about his weight. But then again, you think about it. What happened to him against Gervonta Davis? He fought underweight. And when him and Devin Haney were having the face-off, they were asking the question, and he's like, dude, how come you quit against... Devin Haney asked Mr. Ryan, he's like, why did you quit? Why, man, you're a quitter. You quit against Gervonta Davis. Why did you quit? Why did you take the knee? Why didn't you get up? And he's like, man, you're not going to understand, because I was playing underweight. I was because of the rehydration clause, and I couldn't make my weight. I had to stay at a certain weight. I couldn't rehydrate after the weigh-in. If not, I wouldn't have been able to fight. And that was a huge, you know, huge setback for him in the fight. So he actually couldn't fight to 100%. And he, not only that, but he got whooped. Like, he really got hit really hard. Plus, he didn't have the power to actually hurt Gervonta Davis. So he's like, man, I fought that fight. He hit me really good. I couldn't get back up. Plus, I was playing weaker than I should have been. And then Devin, he's like, yeah, but you got a weak chin. You got a weak chin, too. He's like, bro, I don't have a weak chin. You have a weak chin. We're going to see what you're going to feel like you're going to feel like when you have a weak chin. So I was like, oh, shit, Ryan's setting him up. So when he goes to the weigh-in, I think he didn't care about being over the weight, because he wanted Devin Haney to feel what it was like to fight somebody heavier. Even though Devin Haney fought as his own natural weight, or not natural weight, but the weight he had been used to, but he was not going to be used to fighting a Ryan who was not only rehydrated, but also stronger, because his left hook is amazing. We all know that. But if he's going to be really amazing when he's like really up to par with his weight and his power. And he was able to show that in the fight, right? So he goes into the fight, and you can see from the first round all the way to the 12th round, he was just throwing that left hook like nobody's business. He's like, I'm going to go down with his left hook. And yeah, he would throw some body punches and to set him up, and then he would hit him with some right hooks to kind of finish him off. But that left hook was the damager. The left hook was the one that really took it to the game. And if you see the fight slowly, you see that Devin Haney was not respecting him. Yeah, he got rocked that first round, but you can see that after that first round, Devin Haney kind of got his composure back. He started settling in. And from the second round all the way to sixth round, he kind of took advantage of the point system, and he made a lot of points. I think the cards at that point were 2-4, and Haney had 4. And in the 7th round, everything changed. In the 7th round, we see that, you know, Ryan had not stopped. Like, he was continuously throwing that left hook, but he wasn't hitting in the first. After the first round, he didn't really hit him with a left hook that really damaged him. But in that 7th round, we know what happened when he knocked him down. That tremendous left hook, his whole right side of the body was paralyzed for a few seconds. If you look at Devin Haney as he falls down, his foot, his right foot, gets stuck to the floor and he can't move it. And when he falls down, you can see that his right side of his body is looks like he's paralyzed for a few seconds. And he's trying to move. So he, as he starts to get up, and the ref, I guess, gets to the 6th or 7th, he gets up. And then he's like, I'm okay. I guess he got his composure back. He got his feet, you know, back in his body. And he's able to recollect himself. But it was just from that point on, just I think Ryan knew, like, I'm going to just keep on doing the same thing. Just he had damaged him a lot with that left hook, that second one. You can see that even after the fight, that he was holding his jaw, his right side of the jaw. Devin Haney was like, man, what the fuck happened? There's reports out there that he pretty much broke his jaw. And it's probably true. We don't know yet, right? I don't even know if we're going to find out. But it was just like a colossal display of a left hook and tenacity. And at the same time, I think Ryan was just really wanted to make the point clear that he can fight and he's not going to back down from anybody from now on. He's not going to make the same mistakes he made against Gervonta Davis, you know, as far as fighting underweight and not be able to rehydrate after the weigh-in. And a lot of things are going to change. I think right now, the reason I said that he changed and motivated the game of boxing, or he actually elevated the game of boxing, was because I think boxing had kind of plateaued. I'm talking about just in sports in general, because Canelo, maybe last year or 2 years ago, he was really hot. He was making waves and everything, but then it kind of plateaued. He hasn't fought anybody who has, or not just that, but he didn't really elevate the game and the hype. It was just more like, oh, Canelo's going to fight, we're all going to watch it. Not really, oh shit, he's going to fight this guy, he's going to be an amazing fight. Like, the hype was different for what the fights he had to fight, you know. And now I think Ryan kind of elevated the sport right now, because we all know UFC has been like number one for the last few years, and they're exciting fights. There's always, like, you know, blood, and there's always, like, people like to see that shit, right? They like to see violence. And boxing had taken a backstep for a few years, and they started making a trend, upward trend, in the last couple of years with Canelo, but it kind of plateaued. And I think right now it just surpassed everything. Now everybody's looking forward to the next fights, especially because that weight class where Ryan is at is very hot. They have Teofimo Lopez, they have Devin Haney, they have Ryan, they have other fighters that can fight in that weight class. And it's a very exciting weight class, because you want to see what happens with all those storylines, you know, like, oh shit, can they get the rematch with Devin Haney, or are they going to fight Teofimo Lopez? Can they fight somebody else in that realm? What's going to happen in the near future? It's a very exciting time for boxing, even though it did come with a little bit of a negative, you know, connotation with all the bad news that's coming out of Ryan's camp and Devin Haney's camp. When Ryan wins the fight and he celebrates, and the first thing he did is thank God, right? And he said, God did, right? And after that, he talks about saving the children. So that's when it kind of like clicked to me, like, okay, this guy was not just using it for clout. He was actually trying to speak the truth. Because I was kind of skeptic when he was talking about all the child trafficking stuff before the fight, like a month or two before the fight. I was like, man, this guy, I don't know if he's using it just to get his name out, or he's using it to, because he really cares. So when he mentioned it after the fight, after the announcer, you know, said he was the winner, and then they started interviewing him, And he's like, yeah, man, I'm doing it for the kids. I really want the kids to save the kids. I mean, not in those words, but something within those lines. So I was like, my brother and I looked at each other like, oh, shit. He just said that in live TV. Like, he's down, bro. He is really down for the kids. So I was kind of happy for that. At the same time, I was like, man, it's scary because we've known about people who are truth seekers. Sometimes they don't live that long, especially when the people on top don't want you to be spreading that truth, you know? So, and then on top of that, I saw that right now after the fight, I mean, right after the fight, a lot of people started making comments, you know, on Twitter and like, yeah, go Ryan and Ryan this and Ryan that. A lot of people supporting him. And then Devin Haney, you know, it's like, yeah, I slept on him. Like, he's like, yo, he hit me really good, and I really wasn't hurt, but it shocked me that he actually, you know, knocked me down. And then he started getting, he said that he had practiced and trained for the left hook, but I guess he didn't respect him. And it goes back to what Ryan did throughout this whole, you know, campaign and preparation for this fight. Like, he was making everybody think that he was not all in, that he was wild and crazy, that he was not taking it seriously. And but at the same time, that would create a lack of respect for the fighters, for him, and just the boxing community. I know that I saw a lot of I actually knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing. Like, man, I know what he's doing. Like, he wants to make this fight amazing, but he's distracting everybody with all this, but he's gonna come through. I knew he was gonna do that. But a lot of people don't understand marketing, or they don't understand how you can use social media to create this whole wave of opportunities. Like, a lot of people in the boxing community were saying that he's not focused, that he's going to lose, that he was going to do this, he was going to do that. But they don't understand the persona of what you have to do to create this hype and this distraction before the actual fight. So it was amazing to see that, and to see that a lot of people didn't really get it. They didn't understand what he was doing. I know my brother Jeff was like, he understood what he's doing, because my brother, that's what he does. Like, he uses social media to create campaigns, and attention is a new currency. So he knew what Ryan was trying to do. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people in the social media game understood what he was doing, knew that he was only creating a lane for himself, but at the same time making sure that he can stay on top after the fight. You know, it's a big risk, because even then, like, you still lose some followers. Some people might think that you're not real. I've heard people say, oh, well, he's talking about God, but at the same time, he's acting wild. He's doing all this stuff that contradicts God. And yes, he is. I feel the same way. I feel like, damn. Well, but we're all human. At the same time, we're all human. I think it was a good display for him to be in his truthful self, showing all colors, even if they were bad colors. But at the end of the day, he's human. He's showing his human side, but he's showing that he's vulnerable, and he's showing that he has faith in God. And I mean, at the end of the day, we're all sinners, right? And some people show him, some people don't. Some people get hidden for all many, many years. I think Ryan just didn't care anymore. He's like, yo, I'm gonna go all out and show people what I'm all about, and make sure that they know that I'm with God, with Jesus Christ. And it's working in his favor right now. So it was just an amazing moment in boxing history. I think before the fight, I was a little bit, my brother Rick and my brother Jeff, we met up at Jeff's house, and we're like, hey, dude, what do y'all think about the fight? And my brother Rick's like, I don't know, man, but Mike Tyson just showed up. We were talking about the Mike Tyson showing up to the camp, to both camps, but when he walked into Ryan's, you know, his training camp and his locker room, Ryan had a quartet, like people playing the violin, people playing the cello, and like a little orchestra they're playing. And it seemed very biblical. And I was like, dude, this is like the Titanic or some shit. Something's gonna go down. And then Mike Tyson walks in, and my brother's like, I don't know, man. I feel like some wild shit's gonna happen tonight. I feel like I don't want to jinx it, man. Rick was like, but he's like, I don't know, man. I feel like maybe Ryan's gonna bite somebody or some shit. It's gonna be crazy, just because of all the hype that was happening, right? Like the behaviors were starting to act wild for both fighters. You know, especially right before the fight, and we were just talking about it. Man, this fight might go totally wrong. Hopefully not. Hopefully we see a good fight. And we're like, who are you going for? We're all going for Ryan. We're standing by Ryan, man. We're going to make sure that he gets a W. And so we started watching the fight. And eventually, the first round, we just like, oh, shit. Something's going to go down, bro. He got rocked in that first. Within the first minute, he got rocked real quick. So I was like, man, it's going to be a mad fight. And then it was just really cool moment in time to see all that unravel and have the people who didn't believe in him, you know, like, oh shit, like Ryan got this. And his brother was always there, like his young brother. If you look at the fight, Ricky pointed it out, my brother Rick's like, hey bro, check out how he looks to his brother for like to make sure what's going down is right, you know. I guess they were getting him like a consult, you know, talking to him in the ring in the corner, and the coach would talk to him, and then he would look at his brother and be like, yeah, come on bro, you gotta do this, like kind of like a moment of approval. And then he would go back into the ring, and I don't know, man, it was just wild to see the W. And I don't know, man, just this fight really pushes boxing forward in a lot of ways. It made it a little bit exciting, even though actually, not a little bit. To me, it made it a lot of exciting. There was a lot of excitement going into this fight just because of the whole lore before the fight. Everything that had brewed up, the conspiracy, the wild antics, the social media posts. You know, you didn't even hear anything. You didn't hear too much from Devin Haney. Like, Devin Haney was like he was the main fighter. He was a championship fighter going into this fight. Nobody talked about him. Like, nobody really knew what the hell was going on with Devin Haney. Everybody, up to the last week before the fight, yes. But before that, the whole talk was about Ryan Garcia and 420 and the fight's going to happen. But the main topic was really what the hell he was trying to push on those days, you know. From the wild conspiracy and truth-seeking stories to the post where he's jogging and talking all this nonsense. And when he is with the girls, all kinds of girls, and then all of a sudden, the Diddy shit happens. You know, the whole Diddy story comes up. And this is a few weeks ago. And it just starts elevating because a lot of stuff that he was talking about is kind of related to that. It's just a crazy moment in American culture and the boxing world. So, I don't know, man. This is a episode which is basically unraveling and talking about Ryan's, like, total control of his campaign. I think at one point they were trying to take away his phone because his friends were like, bro, you're just posting some stuff that ain't right. But he's like, I don't care what anybody says, I'm gonna continue to post and post and post anything comes into my mind because I want to expose the truth and I want to make sure that people are safe, the kids are safe. And at the end, he won. Now going forward, we're going to see what happens with the next fights, with Ryan's safety, if he even gets to fight again, or his next fight, who would it be? Will he be a victor, or will he be a product of his downfall because of all the hype that he has? I mean, there's a lot of shit that can happen between now and his next fight. I know that in the boxing community, we're looking forward to the Canelo fight, which is next month in May. In a couple of weeks, he'll be fighting Munguia. But we don't know. Like, nobody really cares about that right now. Like, I mean, they think that everybody expecting Canelo to win, but I don't know. That could be a really hard fight for Canelo. Munguia is a great fighter, man. I've seen him fight. So that's going to be a wild fight. But it's not as hyped up as, I didn't even know he was going to fight that guy. I just found out on Saturday. I was like, oh shit, he's going to fight this next month. I was like, I know he fights in May always, you know, Cinco de Mayo and September, he always fights in those dates. But I was like, I didn't know he was going to fight that guy. I didn't know he was going to fight. So it was like pretty surprising. So we'll see what happens. There's going to be a lot of fighters that are going to try to fight Brian. We have Steven Shakur. We have Devin Haney. And then we have Teofimo Lopez. That'll be a great fight to watch. Two fighters that hit really well. And we'll see who can take the better punches. So, yeah, man. I wanted to talk about that today. I love boxing. I've been watching boxing since I was a kid. And my brothers and I, when we watch boxing, my dad and all of us, and my cousin Eddie, he's a diehard boxing fan. We love talking about all these upcoming fights. You want to see, we kind of try to like analyze it from our own point of view and see what everybody has a different take on it. But yeah, I wish nothing but the best for Ryan and his camp and his family, his kids and his cause. And if he's really with God, I hope that God keeps on taking care of him and blessing him. Great kid. He's 25 years old, man. Young kid. I remember when I was 25, I was doing probably wild shit like that too. But I pray for him, bro, and I pray that he has, you know, constant elevation and becoming wiser and being more, you know, just leading the path of God, you know, trying to make sure that he motivates kids in the right direction, and for him to be aware that there's all kinds of things going on. So, thank you so much for tuning in, guys. I appreciate y'all for everything you do. Please share this podcast, this episode. Remember, go to the website, go to infinitetree.online. There's a lot of cool stuff, got a lot of cool information there for mind, body, health, and financial literacy. Mind, body, and spirit, and financial literacy. And remember, we're not a brand, we're a frequency, and you're part of it. And if you subscribe to the podcast, you'll become a subscriber of the frequency and be able to, you know, put this frequency all over the world. It's only $1 a month. And if you do become a member, when you become a member, I'm going to start giving out some stuff to all the members. So thank you all for tuning in. Peace out. And remember, we're not a brand, we're a frequency.